I would like to see the boy as soon as possible. You keep him like this.
It is best.
Mama won't buy books for me.
And why is that?
Because I killed her.
When Martin was only months old, the Lord had spoken. We had to exorcise Martin to get the devil out. I refused. And now they blame him for everything bad that happens here.
They say Martin is evil.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Ciappardini with Ghost Seat Talk. Thanks for coming back to the podcast. We're here with Connor Allen, who directed In the Fire, an amazing film about spirituality, faith, the devil, fire. And Connor is also a hometown boy from Dallas. So, Connor, thanks for being on the show. How's things in your world?
Thank you. It's great. I mean, it's been a kind of weird period in the industry with, you know, strikes and actors still on strike. And, you know, ideally the actors should be sitting here talking to you instead of me. But I'm very happy that you had an interest in the film and, you know, had me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, I think what I love most about the film is its simplicity. It's one of those, what I feel is like an end of the year drama, I wouldn't say Oscar bait, but it just seems like one of those solid films where, you know, you get performances that feel like they could be on par with stage performances. But I think what really sings about this beyond the message is the locations. I mean, I was enchanted by the production value you had in these villas and manors and stuff. Let's talk about that. What was it like shooting on location?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, I like telling a new story and like building a new world as opposed to taking audiences back to some place they've already seen in other, you know, films and television shows. And so we wanted to build something pretty unique. Our story takes place in a remote valley of South America. Tonally, it's kind of a what I call a gaucho Western. So it's got like Western atmosphere, but in the Victorian era, and also it's in South America. So to do that, we shot half of the movie in southern Italy, in the region of Puglia, where we were able to rent very reasonably for an independent film. They have these fortified farmhouses there, which are basically like little mini castles that are, you know, have big stone walls around them and internal courtyards and orchards and churches in them, and, you know, really just these beautiful complexes that are, in our case, was like 580 years old. And we can just go in there and film our movie. And so half the movie takes place there. And then we shot the other half in Guatemala in the ancient colonial city of Antigua, which is this beautiful town up in the mountains of Guatemala that's in the shadows of three volcanoes, two of which were actively exploding during our production. So it's pretty cool to be on set of a movie that's questioning the supernatural while also being surrounded by, you know, nature's greatest forces.
I also love a lot of the messages in this, you know. I don't know if it was any circumstance that Amber Heard's name was Grace in the film. She kind of had like she was towing the line between science and religion, but I also like a lot of the messages. So what was the most alluring to you?
Thank you for picking up on the Grace name. It's that hopefully in a script, nothing is coincidence. You know, the writer is meant to think through all that stuff, even if you don't need to. But in this movie, we do, you know, we do say, I mean, grace is when God believes in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. And even though, you know, this film is very much about the conflict between science and religion and faith and facts, but you can be on both sides. I mean, yes, humanity is more and more often speaking in absolutes and being very tribal and just, okay, I'm on the side of science, so religion must be wrong, or I'm on the side of conservatism, so science must be wrong. But that's not really the experience of the world. Like, the world's a gray area, and you know, in this case, Grace, who's on the side of science, she's the doctor, she also comes to question those beliefs. And even though she's in conflict with religion in this movie, you know, the religious zealot priest is trying to exorcise this little boy who he thinks might be a demon, she's also given solace by another priest who has belief in her.
Yeah, I think it's astounding. It's reaffirming. I think I'm totally going to copy here. These are two of my favorite lines from the whole film, and I'm curious what spoke to you most. I love the one where I would call him the good priest. He says, "The devil is most powerful when we take the shortest path to judgment." But then I also love when Grace admits under, I guess, duress what her fears were, and that she says she repeats the teachings of great men, but she knows she's not one. I just love those two things where, you know, you're trying to solve things and make your place in the world, but, you know, you always have these fears.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Hopefully good writing usually is drawing from your own personal experience. I mean, even in a story that's set 120 years ago about a woman doctor in South America, there's a lot of me in there. And I certainly have those fears sometimes when I'm directing a movie. I'm standing there and people are waiting for me to give a decision on something, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm a fraud. I'm not a real director. Everyone's gonna figure it out. And you know, those fears are real. We all have that, I think, at
absolutely
points. And in that scene, you know, she's the boy's kind of getting over on her, using some of her own medical treatments against her to elicit her truth. And we learn that, yes, I'm trying to be this doctor and this professional and prove myself, but my real fear is that I'm full of shit.
Imposter syndrome at its worst. Yeah.
Yeah. But then ultimately she has to find that belief in herself if she's going to save this kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking more to that and getting over your fears or getting an accomplishment on set, the movie starts with a river baptism. What's it like shooting in the water? And these days you don't see many mob scenes. So what was more exciting for you to shoot, a water scene or a mob scene?
They're, you know, such different scenes. The baptism scene was more like, it was beautiful to shoot. It was like elegant. And we showed up at this, that was actually a volcanic crater where rainwater collects. So we were up high in the mountains, and we showed up and it's like super misty and foggy and just, it was like perfect. And, that was just sort of magical. And it was a dream sequence too. So really, it was really working on all levels. And the mob scene was probably more exciting, but also anxiety producing, because you're on a clock and there's a lot of extras, and we're doing this really, you know, sort of horrendous scene where the doctor, Amber Heard's character, shows up. She's trying to tell this priest that he's wrong about Martin, the boy, and that he's just got a mental health problem, and that she's going to help him, and he doesn't need an exorcism. And the people of this town, that they're just not buying what she's selling. And if she's not with them, she must be against them. She must be a witch. She must be on the devil's side. And so all of a sudden she realizes she's made a horrible mistake showing up here. And, you know, she finds herself getting dragged through the plaza and stripped of her clothes and sort of brutally, you know, whipped and beaten and you know, also, you know, embarrassed. And that was a really tough scene to do, but also a really powerful one that we needed to execute really well for the movie.
And when you say execute, I think some of, going back to what I was saying about the visuals, you're crediting Matt Bendo and Simone Mogli as your DPs.
So we had an Italian cinematographer named Simone and a Canadian cinematographer named Matt Bendo.
Okay. Well, how did you work with them to achieve your vision, or what input did you take from them to, you know, nail these shots? I really love the last shot of the train station. The way you did the lighting, I'm still in awe of it.
So glad. I'm going to make sure I tell Matt Bendo did that one, and I know that he was drawing some inspiration from I think the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Yeah, I mean, you look at the script and you try to think about what style is going to serve the story. We were trying to, in terms of the tone of the movie, we're trying to make something that feels authentic and real, you know, not too stylized, but also that has some room for kind of romantic atmosphere, that's sort of questioning the supernatural, you know, that has a little bit of magic in it, which definitely I think that train, the scene at the train station at the end falls in that category where it's like a little, there's a little bit of magic to it.
And also maybe I might be digging, thinking about grace, like there's sort of a spiritual component of it too, to where, you know, what happened, without spoiling it, to some of the characters, there's maybe in transit, maybe there's a reason that it's at, they're at a train station and they're, you know,
for sure, yeah,
departing.
We're moving on physically from where we just were, but we're also moving on emotionally, and we've turned a new chapter in ourselves. You know, the character, Amber's character of Grace, she shows up in this movie and she's this icy doctor who's looking at the world through a very unemotional lens, trying to prove herself, and she ends up finding intimacy, finding an emotional connection, finding love with this little boy and his father, in her efforts to protect the kid, and finding sort of maternal instincts in herself that she didn't know was there. So she's there treating the boy, but in treating him, she's also sort of treating something in herself too.
That's beautiful. And I think, there's so many strengths in the film, and I think it's this core group of characters. You know, it doesn't get lost in, you know, side plots or unnecessary people. I mean, there's still a lot of people in the film, but when you just think of the core group and their interactions, it's very pointed. And that's why I was going back to stage play. I mean, I can easily see this being done in its entirety on stage. And it just, that speaks to the strength of the direction and the writing and the acting. So
thanks. Yeah, it is definitely contained, you know, it's a contained movie from a cast perspective. And we have some sort of bigger set pieces where the action is happening and they're burning down buildings. And like you said, the mob scene and stuff, you know, that has sort of a scope to it. But in terms of the interaction between the people, it's quite intimate. I mean, there's only, you know, there's not that many that, in terms of the speaking roles, the roles that matter, there's really just a handful of them. And everyone really goes through something, you know, and changes over the course of the movie.
So how did this movie change you? How do you, you've come through it, you got over your fears, you got the courage to do something else. What hurdle did you jump over, and what's next for you?
Well, it definitely, like the character of Grace, who ends up having to believe in herself, you know, I feel like I sort of had to do that a bit myself. I mean, whenever you launch into like, oh, I want to go make a movie that's going to cost, even a low budget movie is going to cost millions of dollars. And here's 100 pages, pay for this. It's a tall order, it's a big ask. And you're going to get a lot of no's, but you just need one yes, or at least a handful of yeses. I think, you know, I had to sustain myself through the no's and hope for the yeses, and ultimately work really hard to try to get it done. And I'm really proud of the work and so excited for people to actually get to see it now. You know, I've been working on this movie for 7 years.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I was wondering how impacted was this through COVID and everything else that comes into everyone's lives.
I mean, you know, COVID didn't help anything in the movie business. you know, everything happened at the time that it should. I believe that.
Okay. Well, I think what would be great is if you could maybe ask your DPs to change a lens filter or something. And I think you could have two very good, advertisements to give to the boards of tourism to Italy and South America.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm just like so enamored by it. Like, I got to go travel now. So
we'll take the mob scene out where they beat and everything else.
Yeah. All right, Connor. Well, hey, I had a blast speaking with you. Everyone check out In the Fire. And next time you come to Dallas, Connor, you might not recognize the city. Might give you a couple movie ideas.
Yeah. All right. I can't wait. I look forward to being back. I think I'm going to be back for Christmas this year. So I'm excited to get back to Dallas.
I came to help you understand. Martine has a condition. If you just see right here.
Our book also has a name for this condition.
Doctor, do you believe you can cure him?
This is just science. A disease.
Those people are scared. And they need something to blame for that fear, and it's you. Because you are different.